heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, I think a lot of folks are wondering, these college protests and the collapse of what we're seeing on the universities, how do you compare this historically to a lot of the protests on colleges we've had? What makes this chapter any different right now than what's happened historically in our country is, I think, a good place to start right there. Furthermore, in investigating this story a little bit further, my fellow Americans, it seems the a lot of this has started, the spark of this thing. You've been hearing a lot about Columbia University in New York City. Now, of course, this thing has spread nationwide at this point, but the spark of it is there. And from what I've seen and investigated in this area, that this was by design. It was intentional. There were people there who were professional. They put this together, not knowing if it was going to take off like it did. And man, it took off. They have been shocked at the at how successful it's been for these uprisings here. It's disgusting. It's vile. It's inhumane. And again, other questions you might ask is, where do you draw the line? They keep talking about free speech, and then they push the envelope on what that free speech means. Versus hate speech and versus complete terrorism and attacks and things of this nature. You know, where the fine line on that? And when do the adults enter the room to take back matters into their own hands to squell this sort of uprisings? Or is it just part of the fabric of what we're dealing with here in the year 2024, I wonder, right? These are all good questions, of course. And then you see the remarks from the terrorist, Hamas, jumping on the wagon here, taking full credit for this thing. And, you know, it's odd, but I said just before these comments came out, I made some remarks to some people that, by golly, they've got to be sitting in their tunnels and their caves, and they've got to just be lighting up the biggest cigars and laughing their asses off at the mockery we've made of this situation and how they have turned a good part of the world onto hate Jews. And this anti-Semitism that has become just regular vocabulary for these folks now. A lot of questions, friends. Welcome in here to the Voice of a Nation. It is indeed Malcolm Out Loud here. And I want to jump right into it and bring on the broadcast here. IQ Al Razuli joins me right now. He's an Arabic speaker, was born in the Middle East there, and now is out of the UK. IQ is a regular writer and a part of our Mark Rotlop family here, as well as Ilana Friedman is an intel analyst. And Ilana has been with me many, many years. She's a great writer, great thinker. They're both big thinkers, but Ilana spent many years in Israel. They both study this. They understand the fabric of this conversation. Many times where the bones are buried, when you're talking about something like this and you look historically at what the dangers are, the collapse that we're experiencing right now here. Let me start with these comments, which are not a surprise to me. I don't imagine they're a surprise to either of you. And it's the comments from the Hamas, the terrorist group itself. And they say, and I quote, "We in the Hamas movement believe that any popular movement demanding an end to the aggression and genocide against our people are useful and supportive activities for our cause." Of course, we know a lot of people may not understand. Obviously, this group of people who are protesting, we're going to assume they do not understand the cause. But there are some professional instigators in there that are part of these groups. And that's part of what we need to talk about and expose today. They go on to say the importance of this increases if these activities involve young people and university students, given that this reflects the vision of future generations. Now, that comment there should scare the hell out of everybody that is listening to this broadcast right there. You see how they're playing this? And that's what these cats do. They play long term. We don't play long term here in our country. We only play to the next election. But when it comes to these kind of kids, just like the Chinese, same thing. They play long term. We just don't do that in America. And there's a price to pay for a lot of that, frankly. But let me repeat that quote again. The importance of this event increases if these activities involve young people and university students, given that this reflects the vision of future generations. Wow. That's aghast. Everybody should be shocked at that statement there. Let me go first to you, Ilana Friedman. And Ilana, let me get your perspective on that statement from the Hamas spokespeople themselves about reflecting the vision of future generations in the comments, please.
Yeah, I think in order to really understand it, you need to know where it comes from. In 1991, way back then, when the Muslim Brotherhood was organizing Hamas in this country, somebody wrote this: the Ikhwan, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within, and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so that it is eliminated, and God's religion is made victorious. That's Islam over all other religions. That is the grand purpose. And what CARE, and CARE is one of the products of Hamas. It is the face of Hamas in the United States. That's the Council on American Islamic Relations. And they call themselves the NAACP of the Muslims, but it's anything but. It is a despicable organization that has worked for the last 30 years to do exactly what this man wrote in 1991.
Ilana,
And
let me ask you
they.
something about CARE, please. You mentioned that last time on the broadcast with me as well, telling listeners, and I find it ironic or very interesting that I hear nothing out there in regards to any mention of CARE at all. I mean, I haven't heard a drop of any information on that in relation to these uprisings and stuff. Isn't that interesting? And yet you've gone right to that denominator of saying they are part and parcel, part of the product of these uprisings on the campuses, yeah?
Well, they are Hamas in the United States.
Right.
And so they support Hamas. And what they have done over the last 30 years is to create hundreds of Islamic organizations, mostly in colleges, but also in communities. And they have been brainwashing them for the last 30 years. And
Yeah.
so why it should be no surprise to us that when there is finally a trigger that is a Hamas trigger, as a matter of fact, they have been able, to suddenly, all of a sudden, these professionally made signs were all over the streets
Yeah.
and in the colleges. They've been working on these organizations, on these students who then go on to be leaders and community leaders, and this is something that has
Which
been
is what the
going on.
reference is when that spokesman says reflects the vision of future generations, to your point, right?
That's exactly right. Yes, that's the point. It's
Yeah.
not just the first generation, but it's every generation afterwards, and each generation becomes more and more radical.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
so what we have now, and the interesting thing about what we two interesting things about these demonstrations. One is that there are organizers within the student pop, not students, but in
Right.
within these demonstrations, there are agitators who are trying to get the, to rev up the
Now, these
juice, so to speak.
agitators, Ilana, do we let me stay on that 1 second, please, and then bring IQ in on this conversation as well. And are these the agitators are what do we know, if anything, about them? I know they're there. I know they're the ones that have edged the students on. They're always referred to in the press as professional organizers or what have you. But are these people that are from the Middle East? Are they just people from CARE? Are they just hired hands? Who are they? Do you know anything about that?
I think that they have gone to a great deal of trouble to be anonymous. And I'm not sure that we know yet who they are or where they come from, but it's probably all of the above. The other thing I was going to say about these demonstrations, however, is that many of the people who are demonstrating have not a clue about what they're doing.
Exactly.
What they're doing there.
Exactly.
They're just yeah. having fun. And
well,
they
I think
love
people
the shouting
understand
and they love
that
the noise.
Point. I think people understand that point that you just said. I think most, I'm going to say to you, I think most Americans understand the ignorance, because when you just listen to the vile of the disgust and the statements they make and how outrageous they are, that you just have to know they don't understand that they'll be the first ones to be killed from this group.
Yes. Yeah. But also, if you go up to them and ask them, what are you demonstrating for?
Yeah.
I'm not sure which river.
Well, they don't even know what the river or the sea is.
They don't know what they're doing. They're just in there for the excitement. Yeah.
I think people understand that, though. I really believe that most Americans do know that point you just made. This is a very uneducated conversation that's being had here, and they don't really understand, but they sort of fall onto the wagon. And other thing I've noticed with a lot of these protests at a lot of the different campuses is that they tend to, their little ditties they throw out that they rive everybody up with, they're like rhymes. They're like nursery rhymes, and they always rhyme and they edge on, and they many times they make no sense, but they're full of hate and disgust, and they're sort of something they can shout like they're singing a nursery rhyme back and having fun on a Friday afternoon somehow. That's the point I get out of it. I don't know.
I think it is, but the dangerous thing, aside from the fact that they're taking over community property, is that they have revved up the anti-Semitism on campus to such a level that Jewish students who in some of these campuses, they make up a substantial part of the population. They, in some cases, they've left the campus. They're afraid to go out. They have created a system of terror.
Yeah, well, we see it. And it's unacceptable on any level, for sure here. All right. There's another statement. Here's something I want to dive into. And I want to ask you, when we talk about these agitators, and there's a couple of points I want to make about that, IQ, in a moment here. But do you have any sense of, maybe you don't, where they're, coming from, who they are exactly, the professional ones now that are edging on the college students? Ilana says many of them just be anonymous kind of thing. But what do we know about them? Anything at all?
Nobody seems to know about it, especially the American intelligence service, whether the FBI, Homeland Security, clueless. Remember, 7.5 to 10 million people have crossed Mexico to you.
That's a good point.
What do you mean?
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
With all due respect, that is the point. Hundreds of thousands of them, in fact, millions of them from Asia. From where Asia? Middle East. Millions of them.
So let me just connect dots here with you. So are you saying to me you believe, or do you have evidence that any of these people are some of those people, or is it just probably so?
With all due respect, I need evidence. I don't need evidence. It speaks for itself. I mean, all I have to do is use logic. Those people who came here from Middle East, what do you think they came here for? What did they come here for? To impose Sharia. Mm-hmm. Something else was missing in the conversation.
What's that?
Qatar, Saudi Arabia, spent billions and billions of dollars buying chairs in every university in the West. Billions. This is the product of it. Mm-hmm. They have in every university professors, so-called professors, Muslim ones, who know absolutely nothing about anything except how to undermine Western civilization. That's it.
Right. All right.
Billions. I'm not talking about millions. I'm talking about billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. They bought places. They bought university degrees. They put in education, for example, about how Islam is great. Islam is not great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Islam, first of all, and I repeat it for a billionth time, Islam is not a religion, it's a cult belief system, the cult of Muhammad.
Yeah.
It's not a religion.
We're going to get more into that a little bit after, and I've got an interesting audio clip so I want to play for listeners as well, and we'll dive more into all of where that core of that religion is coming from, and cult, as you call it there, IQ. But let me stay on this, these protests and the uprisings. And here's what I want to say here. There's a the Hamas spokesman. There's another interesting quote I want to read to you all now, and it goes like this. The American administration's attempts to suppress these activities will not change the reality of the situation, whether regarding the justice of the Palestinian cause or the brutality and racism of the Israeli occupation. They went on to say, we believe that suppressing these activities will increase the youth's adherence to their position and reveal the falsity of American democracy. Now, full stop right there. I want to talk about that a moment here. I want to talk about this open framework we have of what we call the American democracy or the American experiment. And so, IQ, you say to me moments ago, well, I don't need any proof or evidence. Where do you think they're all coming? Now, you know, okay, fine. You're talking about where all these young, healthy Middle Eastern young men have come in through the open borders by large, large numbers. And everybody's scratching their head wondering, you know, are they here for a holiday or a vacation or what's really going on? And they're actually, these people are flying in from all over the world into ports of Mexico and South America. And then they're coming up through that as well. So they're actually, that's how they get from all over the world in here for sure. And it's just like you don't even need a passport. You don't need nothing. You don't need an ID. Everybody's invited. That's the danger of that border. But it brings this whole other point about this Hamas spokesman when he talks about the falsity of American democracy. And, you know, I've been thinking with the there's a tremendous amount of Chinese nationals that have come over the border as well. That's been a very highly reported story that people are scratching their heads wondering, why are they here? What are they coming for? What's going on? Same thing that you just point out, IQ, about all these young, healthy Middle Eastern men like the Chinese. And then we started talking, I've been talking to experts off mic a lot about the sleeper cells and dangers in the country and what they anticipate is going to happen ahead here. So isn't it ironic? And IQ, let me pose this back to you here. Isn't it ironic or not that they're using our way of life, this so-called American experiment, our open form of American democracy, this whatever you want to phrase it as, and they're using that against us. The same thing that the CCP in China has been doing for decades and decades and decades since Nixon opened up those relationships. They have taken full advantage of stealing everything that is American and infiltrating all of our universities and infiltrating our labs, our bio labs, infiltrating all of our higher education, all these different products, our government agencies. Same thing with what Obama did with a lot of the Muslims he put into positions of power through government agencies. I would suggest to you, and I'll get both of your opinions on this, but this American experiment is, I think if everybody's really paying attention, is really coming at a crescendo moment and a point of failure with the fact of all of these hostile forces we have in our country. I mean, how do we repel this? And it's not just Islam, as you say, IQ. We're talking about a lot of vile people who hate America, hate our way of life. They're in the country here. They're all over the place, including the young Chinese man, and they're here by large numbers as well. Isn't there a connection to be made with all that, IQ?
No.
Tell me.
No. Islam is unique, and it's not only the American experiment. Europe is failing exactly the same reason.
That's right.
They have been flooded with millions of Muslims, illegal Muslims.
Yeah.
Even the legal ones hate Europe and Europeans. The failure of America, the failure of Western civilization is that you are too stupid to understand how dangerous Islam is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mincing my words. You said most Americans realize. No, most Americans don't realize anything. First of all, 40% of the American public are brain dead. They support Biden. So already I have eliminated 40%. What's left, 60%? You say they are capable of understanding what these demonstrations are? No, they're not capable. If they were capable of understanding what these demonstrations are, these should never have not have ever happened. Your border should have been secured. Most of the people demonstrating are Muslims.
Yes.
Muslims. Well, that I don't need any proof.
Yeah,
all you have to do is arrest 100 of them and find out how many of them are Muslims.
Okay. Well, to correct you, you're taking what I said out of context, my friend. That's not what I said. What I said is that these people, that most Americans do understand that the students don't know what the hell they're talking about. That's what I said, to be clear.
Possibly. Even that, I know, is not clear to me.
Oh, I think it's 100% clear. They know, people know, when you look at the statements and the violent disgust of the things they're saying, it's a simple kindergartner would connect the dots and understand that the students, in most cases, have no clue of what the hell they're talking about, what river, what sea, or that they don't even think October 7th happened, by the way. They don't even think that these women were raped and brutalized and people were put in ovens. They don't think any of that happened, by the way, IQ.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. But the ones who are demonstrating who are Muslims know exactly what happened.
Well, we're talking about the students themselves. So let's call it
The students, wait a minute. These students, what do you think they are wearing? The kafia? They are all Europeans? What are you talking about?
I'm going to disagree with you twice now. I'm going to disagree with you. We don't normally disagree, but I'm going to give a full stop disagree. I'll get over to Ilana now and get her in on this conversation. Ilana, these people who are wearing all this, you think that they know all of the nuances here we're talking about?
You know, I have been trying over the last so many years, well, 3 or 4 years, trying to understand why presumably smart Americans, people who are educated, do not understand how much damage this administration, the Biden administration, has done and continues to do to America. And one of the things that has happened, and it started long before Biden became president, has been the education of our students, which has really gone down the toilet. And you end up, as IQ says, you end up with a lot of stupid people. They don't know how to think critically. They just go along with whatever, you know, seems to be attractive to them at the moment. And
can't have it both ways. You're describing, you didn't answer my question first, but then you're describing now the student who you call stupid and unintelligent. But and then the other side, you're saying they do understand. No. So do they understand or don't they understand?
No.
Which is it?
They do not understand because of the way they've been educated for the last 30 years.
But IQ is saying they do understand, and I disagree with him.
No, I don't think they understand.
No, he's saying,
he's saying the Muslim demonstrators understand.
I said the students, IQ, and you pushed back on me and said, no, you think they do. So let's be clear. Okay. We're talking about apples and oranges here.
Let me clear myself so that you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Among the demonstrators are European background, and many of them are Eastern background, Middle Eastern. The Middle Eastern ones know exactly what they're doing.
Of course.
The European ones are the
same. You said the
river to the sea, they know exactly which.
Of course, it's
not difficult.
Yeah, yes, of course. Well, nobody would debate that, sir. Nobody would debate that. If they're a professional and they've come over from that, they would clearly know all the nuances here. But the average student hasn't a clue.
The average student is completely clueless.
Right, but then you said, why are they wearing the same look and feel that all? Because they get caught up into the moment, they think it's cool. It's the same reason they repeat these little nursery rhymes that are full of death and violent disgust.
Well, I want to understand. When somebody is wearing this and then they are doing rhymes for murdering Jews,
right,
where's the logic?
There is no logic.
Yeah, there is no logic. And what the point I was making was that for the last 30 years, kids have been brought up in an educational system which says you show up and you get a prize and you don't have to be accountable for what you do and you don't have to learn how to think critically and you don't have to memorize and you don't have to do any of the things that we all did when we were growing up. Yeah. And that gave us the ability to understand. But what I cannot understand is how smart people, and I know many smart people who are Democrats, who are liberals, and they buy Joe Biden with a whole cloth. And I think his liberalness and what he represents, not just, you know, not just him, but what he represents, mm-hmm. and the people who stand behind him, they have done so much to destroy America, and they have made our children stupid. And I have a good friend who says you can't fix stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are educated to be stupid, and that's why our students who go to the top universities are out there in the streets being stupid.
Yeah. Well, we understand. I mean, I get it. But this didn't happen on Biden's watch. I have a news bulletin for you and everyone. It didn't happen.
No, that's right. It didn't.
That's right. That's right. He just happens to be the product of the moment. That is the face of all of this, which is.
I think it's more than that, Malcolm. I think he's not just the face of it. He's carrying the torch for them. And he's made when Trump was president, Trump was able to overcome all this to a certain extent. Right. But Biden bought it whole cloth.
I will push back on you now as well, because I don't agree with what you say there. Biden doesn't even have a clue what the hell day of the week it is. You can't
He's
tell
not
me
running the show.
Well, that's He's exactly nothing. Right, which is why I would push back on you and say I do not agree with you. This is not all his product. He did not make all this up. He's as empty minded as the students you just called out a lot of moments
absolutely,
ago.
Absolutely. But he's the face of it. And behind him stands the entire Obama infrastructure.
100%, which I referenced moments ago when I said to you, all of the bad cats he put into the bureaucratic state, right? Over all those years. He did a lot of damage back in 08.
He's still doing it.
Of course he is.
More damage than he did when he was president.
Well, because now, as he spoke about on late night, his name and face isn't even on it anymore. He got his wish. Which is what he stated on there. Said, I'd love to be a president for another term and be talking. Well, he got it. That's exactly what he's doing now. All right. Let me take a deep breath here now. Boy, that was an interesting open. And I have to tell you, my fellow Americans, but you do a little dot connecting here. And, there's a lot of ignorance. That's right. The statements are correct. We get it. They're being indoctrinated. They've been indoctrinated for decades. Listen, we've been talking about this for a long time. To get on here and waste your time and tell you, oh, by the way, they're all indoctrinated would be just a waste of time. Everybody should know that at this point. Now, what's the product of what we're getting? Well, now you're seeing the product of what we're getting, which is why they don't know what day it is. They're being swept up into these groups and into these things. They think it's cool. They do the hateful nursery rhymes. They wear the outfits. They put on the gig. They don't even know that they'll be the first to be slaughtered. This is not the fun-loving Hamas group that is going to take them out for lunch or something. I mean, these people they're brutal. And they will absolutely slaughter all of them. So they have no idea. If they spent just 10 minutes with these people, they would have, but they have no idea what they're talking about, not a clue. Now, the professionals that IQ was talking about a moment ago, they absolutely have a clue. They're part of the product. That's where this gets really clever. That's where it gets entirely clever, that they have put those folks in here. And that's what I talked about with this open falsity of our American experiment, which IQ went on to say it's happening to all the world. Well, yes, it's happening to all the world. I was speaking about America at that moment. Same thing with the Chinese nationals. Same thing with China playing the long game. Same thing with everything they've stolen from America. It's the same story. My bigger point is that our open idea of this American democracy with my fingers up, this constitutional republic of the shiniest city on a hill, is failing at the moment. That fine line has been crossed now. And, what do they say? The chickens have come home to roost, right? Is that what it is? And we're seeing what's happening, the product of these universities of what's happening here, which is what Hamas picks up on when he talks about The reflection, it reflects the vision of future generations. That's what they're looking for. That's exactly what they're looking for. So what? That's what we have now. We have a catastrophe on our hands, right at the cusp and the moment of America turning 250 years old in the year 2026, coming up very quick now, our semi-quincentennial. And I don't know. You have to ask yourself, don't you, though, friends? Is it going to be a moment of celebration for the country or a moment that we're going to a city morgue to watch the funeral and death of the United States of America? It should give you chills, doesn't it? I mean, think about what I just say there. Should give everybody chills. You know, what are we going to do about it, right? What are we going to do about it? It's exactly
you
what
have ever, you were supposed to do it before. Your FBI, the CIA knew about CARE for 30 years.
Exactly.
They did nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, imagine a second administration of that cabal there that's running the show. They're always more lethal in the second administration. You know, they don't need to worry about where the tea leaves are or what's happening. They can just do whatever they want. They don't have to worry about another election. So they're at their most lethal point right there in that you know, second term, really. And what do you think that would look like? Should scare everybody listening here. There's no doubt about it. There'd be nothing left. I mean, that's not just a statement. I mean, you would take everything that's happened now in the last 3.5 years and you would escalate those thoughts of the doom and gloom, what the ramifications are. And the product of that IQ was just talking about with the open borders and all of those folks that have come in through the country and the harm. They're not here on luxury holidays, friends. They're not here for our American democracy. They're not here for any of that. Clearly, you don't come in through that means and mean to be part of a product here. And yet this is what they bought in. That should scare the hell out of everybody. And why would that be? And why would this country tolerate it? Why would they tolerate this sort of thing? Why would we, the people, tolerate any administration? I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or freaking Communist. Why would we tolerate this? We cannot. We cannot. It goes against everything we are, what we think, who we are, what we are. It goes against our existence, our future. I mean, we are betting. This is a bad, bad, bad game here, I'll tell you, that we are betting our lives on and our kids' lives and the future of our nation. Yeah, I often say to you, we're going from Tom Brokaw's The Greatest Generation After World War II to the most screwed up generation known in mankind. That is the legacy of the moment. More Voice of a Nation in just a moment. Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
We join you back here, friends, on the Voice of the Nation. It is indeed Malcolm Out Loud here, yours truly. Always a privilege to be with you. Pretty serious conversations today. Help us get back there at AmericaOutLoud.news and share the out loud truth, please. Surely from sea to, you know, not quite so shining sea, but around the globe as well, and wake people up to the out loud truth. The out loud truth, it comes with a lot of pain attached these days, doesn't it now? And where we find ourselves and where we are. There's about nobody you can speak to in the country who feels really good right now about where things are at, no matter what level of education or what level of thought process they're at, or what, they just don't feel good about something. They just know, you know what I'm talking about? There's a sense, there's something in your gut. And it could be as simple as, you know, the economic demise, or not optimistic about the country on an economic level, or foreign wars, or that sort of thing. But it gets a lot graver than that when you have the kind of conversations we're having right now. Remind you as well that AmericaOutLoud.shop is a place we have all the great products that are helping people stay happy and healthy. Of course, it helps to have a prosperous country in the process, doesn't it now? But it is all back there. You always use the code OUTLOUD, and you'll receive the discounts that we've negotiated with all of those companies and brands for sure here. Let me get right back on task now and talk to you, but I want to get right to a point here, and I want to play some interesting audio, and I want to get IQ Al-Razouli and Ilana Friedman are both with me today. We had a pretty strong opening there, you'll see in the first part of the broadcast, which is what I like about this product. Talk radio is very authentic. It's very real. It's very raw. It's very emotional. Sometimes we can misunderstand each other. Sometimes we have to go back around and clean something up or clear it up. Or sometimes we're just so passionate, we just can't help ourselves. That's what I love about this medium, actually. So I welcome all of the spirited response from IQ, Al-Razouli, and Ilana Friedman. Both are tremendous talents and have been fighting this fight for their lifetimes here. I have an interesting audio clip I want to play with you as we get into the guts and the glory of what IQ was talking about a moment ago with Islam. And he's dedicated his life to getting the truth out there because he believes Islam is the greatest threat to humanity, full stop right there. He doesn't think it's anything else. It's not the common criminal. It's not the Chinese nationals. It's not the, the people that live in Venezuela. It's not some hostile drug addicts and cartels. You don't think it's any of that. It's what's happening here and the threat to humanity of Islam that he talks about with Europe and other aspects. And he's dedicated his life to that as well. I want to play this with an audio clip. This goes back a few years, but it's with an English politician. You'll learn something. If you follow me here with what we're going to talk about next, you'll learn something. This is an English politician. His name is Paul Weston of the Liberty GB Party, Great Britain Party, if you will, here. So this first leg of this is about 3 minutes, and I want you to hear the whole thing, and then we'll get them on and we'll opine. So here we go. Listen up here.
How can you tell when a civilization is in danger of collapse? Well, that's easy. It's when every leader of every country that makes up Western civilization no longer accepts reality and deals only in lies and cowardice when presented with genuine danger. In the midst of worldwide Islamic violence, war, terror, torture and rape, we're told Islam is a religion of peace, over and over again. It's a sign of total cowardice to state Islam is peaceful, when it is undoubtedly an ideology of supremacism and war. Islam is the Quran is Muhammad, and Muhammad was a warlord and a murderer. Now, Mecca today is the international shrine to Muhammad, but it didn't used to be. First, he had to defeat the Meccans when they laid siege to his exiled home in Medina. Muhammad won the battle and was then involved in the execution by beheading of 700 Jewish male members of Medina's Qurayza tribe. The women and children were taken as slaves and sex slaves, and beheading, as we now know only too well, seems a particular favorite amongst Muslim murderers, and this is because it's instructed in the Quran in any number of verses. Quran 5:33, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his messenger is execution by beheading or crucifixion or the cutting off of hands and feet from opposite sides. Quran verse 8:12, I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers, smite ye above their necks and smite all their fingertips off. Nice one. Quran 47:4, therefore when ye meet the unbelievers, strike off their heads. So you see, Mr. Cameron, when Muslim murderers cut off soldiers' heads in London whilst quoting the Quran, it does, contrary to every lie that you've told, have everything to do with Islam. Now, David Cameron seems unaware that the perfect man in Muslims' eyes was a supremacist warlord, a murderer, and a sex enslaver of little girls. But then everything about Islam is supremacist. Islam translated means submission. Come on, what sort of a religion of peace calls itself submission? And what happens if you want to leave this religion of peace? You become an apostate, and the sentence for apostasy is death. So in other words, if you want to leave the religion of peace, you'll be killed. How peaceful is that, Mr. Cameron? Can't you see it? This religion of peace, this religion of Islam, kills its own women if they bring dishonor upon a family. Honor killings, honor violence, the stoning to death of adulteresses, the hanging of homosexuals. How can a religion which carries out these acts of savagery and barbarism possibly be considered a part of a peaceful religion? Again, I ask you the question, Mr. Cameron.
So at the time that he was talking about this, Cameron was the prime minister there in Great Britain, Paul Weston. In pretty striking conversation. That's the first few minutes of about a 6-minute recording I have on it. What's interesting, he doesn't mix his words. IQ, let me go to you first on this here. You know, he talks about the statement. He says, what religion of peace calls itself into submission that you must submit, you know? And of course, if you don't, you become an apostate, and apostasy is death. You know, they call themselves religion of peace. Now, Cameron's done that. All of our presidents here, I remember Barack Obama spouting that out so many times back in 08 and 06, between 08 and 016, countless times, and all of the people in D.C. did the same thing. IQ, let me ask a serious question. These politicians, both in Europe and here in America, when they make statements like a religion of peace, you know, I understand they all walk to the politically correct side of life. But is that just a politically correct statement to them? Do they really believe that in their hearts of hearts? Are they that ignorant? Or do they understand the danger of what they're saying? Or do you think it just escapes them entirely? Why do they make those statements, please?
Because they are totally ignorant. Not one of them has ever read the Quran. Not one.
So you think it's ignorance? You don't think they know that? So if you're, hold on, let's, so if it's ignorance, they don't really know then the danger of what they're saying then.
Absolutely, no. Okay. No. How is it conceivable, as the gentleman, Mr. Weston, was saying, how is it conceivable for any human being with two brain cells of logic, seeing what Muslims do to other Muslims, which is jihad, they have been murdering people for the last 1,400 years incessantly. Yeah. How is it conceivable to speak? It's a religion of peace.
But let me now say something else now. But yet these people, these politicians we're talking about here now, They see the same things that we see. They do. They know the same things we know. They seen back with ISIS how they lined up all those guys by the waterside in orange suits and chopped their freaking heads off like nothing we've ever seen in our lives. We were shocked and horrified. We see now what they've done on October 7th, but we've seen every time they get in front of an infidel, they cut their heads off, which is what Weston says here, which is in the damn Quran. That is perfectly legit. So how is it these politicians don't see the same thing we see, or they see it and they think what? That it's what? A religion of peace? Come on.
Okay.
I don't understand.
What? There's nothing to understand, really. There's nothing to understand. They're criminal. They are colluding with Islam against their own people. Yeah. All of them are criminals. All the Western leaders in Europe are criminal. Cameron in France, he keeps saying that he wants to make Islam French style. You can't change Islam. Nobody can change Islam. Nobody. Zero. No chance.
Okay. All right. Let me ask that, Ilana. This is a fine line, what we're talking about here. Is it the way we're describing it, IQ and I, we're talking about the ignorant factor or the knowledge factor of understanding this comment of a religion of peace, but then seeing everybody being beheaded out in the light of day and the grotesque things these Satanist bastards do and think nothing of it. Where does that fall? How can they be ignorant to that? I mean, is that possible?
I think it's something that I call convenient. They hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't see. They don't want to see because it works against their narrative that Islam is a peaceful religion. And I'm sure they've had enough Muslims tell them, assure them that Islam is a peaceful religion. But the reality is something that is very plain to see, and we can all see it. And yet, for political reasons and for reasons of self-aggrandizement and whatever goes on in Washington, these people are hugely corrupt. Once they get to Washington, the corruption is like a disease. I think they just don't care that they are misrepresenting something that is so dangerous. And now that we have so many young Muslim males who have come in over our open borders, and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of young fighting age men are coming and have come into our country. We don't understand them. We don't want to understand them. We do not want to accept the fact that they are dangerous to us. And as you have said, Malcolm, one of these days before November, or before the end of the year, this is going to explode in our faces. And the people who are responsible are the ones in Washington who have been ignoring it for all these years.
Right. So if, you know, IQ, I hear Lana, she, you know, it's still hard to understand and really to get people to really believe that this ignorance or this, however these political people think, if they knew the danger of what they have to know the danger, I say on one side, but if they knew the danger, why wouldn't they act and do something when we're talking about the results of by calling this stuff out as a religion of peace is insane. It's insanity.
Yeah, cool. But they do not want to admit that they understand this. It's so much easier. I know so many people I have spoken to who understand that there is a threat and who are afraid, and yet they give you the same hype. Oh, it's just a few. It's just, you know, it isn't everybody. We'll be okay. You know, well, I don't think we're going to be okay. And the faster we wake up, the more chance we have to be successful against this. And if we don't wake up, we will fail.
All right. In that audio, IQ, there's a couple of things. And correct me on this. I know you know about this because you study this. But as I listen through a lot of what Paul Weston said, he clarifies the point that the Muslim population, he said, at least at the time this was done, is growing 9 times faster than any other demographic, predicting a Muslim majority in Great Britain before 2050. Could you speak about that?
Yes, I sent you two articles on this subject, which you published.
Yeah.
One of them shocked you to your core, if I remember, over 7 years ago.
Yeah.
When I said the demographics of Europe, by 2050, Europe will be Muslim. You were shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course they will be shocked. First of all, Europeans, whether in America or in Europe, they don't produce more than 1.2. And in many cases now in Europe, they are less than 1.37, which is unsustainable. Anything below 1.9 reproduction is unsustainable. That means the new generation which comes up cannot feed the older generation.
Right.
Not enough.
Yeah, that's a worldwide problem, what you say there. A lot of cultures are in danger of fizzling out.
Correct.
At some point ahead. I've studied that. I know what you're talking about. You know, in that, let me, now this is an important point, IQ. There's another point Western brings up a little bit later. He says, because I've listened to this whole thing several times. I only had time to play that part of it, which was the biggest, strongest part. You have to admit, the part I played, IQ, you know?
100%, yes.
Yeah. It says, could it be dealt with today? He asks the question more or less. But he says he thinks it can be, but to appease it, he says, again, back to what Ilana was talking about, appeasement here, appeasement. But to appease it, hoping it would eat you last, like Winston Churchill's crocodile, is a total betrayal of your country and children and grandchildren. Wow,
correct.
Wow.
But he's right.
Yeah, yeah.
On your show and on every single talk show that I made with America for the last 14 years, I said very clearly, you must close every single mosque in any country and every country outside Dar al-Islam. You must close them. You ban Sharia and you close every school, which is called Islamic school, madrasa, which is religious school for Islam. And also you completely control all the charitable organizations. You freeze their assets. They're not charitable. They supply money to all variant of terrorist organizations around the world. But nobody wants to do that. You're telling me, you're asking the question, why isn't anybody doing it? They don't have the backbone. But legally, it's absolutely correct. What do they teach every Friday in every mosque in every country on earth? They teach Quran. What does the Quran say? Murder, slaughter, plunder, kill the infidels. That subversion of your own country, in your country, in every mosque, in every city in the United States of America. But you're not willing to do anything. When you're not willing to do anything, you have to bear the consequences. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Your future generations are going to destroy you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You did a very interesting article, by the way, I want to mention. And by the way, when you go to the menu, friends, go to authors and hosts in the menu on AmericaOutloud.news. You can go to IQ Al Razuli there in our esteemed list of experts. You'll see there show host and writers and columnists. Everybody's there. And go to IQ. You'll get a whole library here of unbelievable. You want to be informed on this thing? Oh, my golly. Just go to that link and look at the archives here, the incredible library of work. But there's one in particular that we published on April 7th, IQ, and it was titled European and American Laws Can Stop the Spread of Islamic Terrorism. I want to bring attention to that because that's the one that you get in. You not only, I asked you to do this one, actually, as I recall it. You might remember I asked you to do this one. This was a favor you did for me, I believe, right?
Correct.
And you list out the 10, I asked you to list the 10 worst things, bombings and stuff, and you did it. You've got them right here. The 10 different things listed that they've done to show the death and the carnage they've done over the last many years. Then you get into the most egregious lies that have been insinuated into the human consciousness by Muslims and their apologists are the following. And you get into all of those there. But then you get into steps that can be taken. You get into what you were just sharing about the mosque and all about being closed, and you do a whole list of things here and how you stop it. Is that correct, IQ? Speak about this.
Correct, and it's legal. It's every single item I put there is legal.
Yeah.
not illegal. First of all, you've got to understand, I don't care how many times the Muslims say that Allah is God. Allah is most definitely not the same as the God of Moses, Abraham, and Jesus. Take that out of your brain.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
So you have a cult belief system. A cult belief system is not entitled to any religious advantages. None. Zero. You take them out.
Right.
You can stop Sharia. You can close every mosque and every madrasa. By the way, in every Muslim country, look what's happening now as I'm talking to you. Right. In Egypt, they started burning Christian places on the rumor, only a rumor that the Christians were going to build a church. Yeah, are you with me?
Oh, yeah, we are.
You are with me, but I want the American people who are listening to understand the magnitude of what I'm telling you.
Right.
In Muslim countries, no other human being is allowed to have a religious toleration. None.
No, there's no tolerance. There's zero tolerance. You either suck it up, big boy, or you're going to be killed.
That's
what Western points out. You become immediate and apostate, whatever. All right, now, I've only got a couple of minutes left. That's why I'm trying to get to the crux here. We're running right out of time here. That article, IQ, that you wrote on April 7th, titled European and American Laws Can Stop the Spread of Islamic Terrorism, I would suggest back to you, which is, this is an article I asked you to write, but it is probably the most powerful article, document you've written in all the years we've been together here. That one on April 7th of this year is very powerful. And I've actually got an image there of somebody who the three monkeys there, like no talk, can't see, they can't.
Correct. Yes.
Right. Which is kind of talks about what's right. I mean, that's what's happening. Right. And but that is wouldn't you say that's one of the most powerful articles ever, probably?
It was the most powerful article I ever wrote.
Yeah. And I know. And I thank you for doing it. I asked you to get it all in writing right here, and you did it.
I thank you for publishing it. Nobody else wanted to publish it. Not a single person in Europe wanted to publish it.
Yeah.
Not one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. All right. So, I'll tell you what. We've only got like seconds left here, but IQ, all right. With all the protests, all the colleges, everything going on, what's the end result? Right, where do you see this going right now? What's the last word?
It will continue. This will continue as long as CAIR is there, CAIR that Ilana was talking about, that I have been addressing many years.
Yeah.
For as long as CAIR is allowed to exist, these problems will continue in America.
Okay. All right. Ilana, and, you know, I really thank both of you tremendously. And Ilana, you've been bringing up CAIR right along. IQ has as well over the years. You're exactly right. But I'm glad you're the only ones I've seen to connect the dots to actually put that on the light of day as to what's happening here as a catalyst here in America here. Last word, Ilana.
Well, I think, first of all, I have written a book on CAIR, and it's in your library, and your listeners can go to your bookstore and get it. What I want to say is, seeing what's going on now, the dramatic rise in anti-Semitism and violence against Jews, I'm looking at Germany in 1938, and I think that's where we are.
Yeah, amen. If you go to Authors and Hosts and you go to Ilana Friedman, you'll see her books right there, Jihad, you'll see Understanding the Threat of the Islamic State in America, you'll see Hamas, CAIR, and the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, the story of Islamic Jihad, the gateway. She's got, incredible books right there. Just go to her author page. The books are right there. Same with IQ. If you go to IQ's page, which I've already instructed you to do here, you'll see his books right there. And he's got a trilogy, if you will. Friends, you've been educated today on this broadcast, but you've been educated. And the key now is to get this information out there as the best I can offer you. I don't have any other magic bullet, but our existence lays in the balance here, frankly. Nothing to be taken lightly. You cannot rest or rely on your political leaders by any stretch of the imagination. Thank you for joining me here on The Mission. It's time to get involved and get loud. America.